once again. My brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you in the midnight hour from the wonderful, lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where while the world continues to spin on its axis, Jesus Christ remains in control of all that takes place, of all that transpires in this world, even though the world may seem like it is spinning out of control, it is very much going according to the plan and the purpose of God in this time. At such a time as this, what did people expect when we've been praying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven? And the answer to that prayer, part of the answer to that prayer is God said, I will shake everything that can be shaken. And the fire does come and test the quality of every man's work. The storm does come and checks the foundation of what every person is built with, whether it be built on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, or whether it has been built on the shifting sands of this world that don't last, that posture themselves in a certain way, that give an aura of strength, if you would, but is really a deck of cards. And when they're tested by the slightest things that come in this life, their empires collapse and fall and fragment into nothing. You know, God just blows his breath and they fall over. God, he just has to go and they fall over, they collapse. If he just withdraws his breath from their lungs, which even the very breath in every person's lungs is on loan from him. It is the breath of God that each person, be they wicked or good, be they righteous or unrighteous, it is the very breath of God in their lungs, in their nostrils, that allows them to even breathe and exist in this reality. You know, that's why scriptures admonish people in the Psalms, you know, in Psalm 2 and Psalm 149, to the kings and the rulers of this world. In the natural, so it would seem. He says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in his wrath. He gives people perspective. And even as when Jesus was talking to Pilate, when he told him, and Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know that I have authority to crucify you or to set you free? And what did Jesus say to him? You would have no authority over me if it were not given to you by my Father. And therefore he that handed me over to you is guilty of the worst sin, of a greater sin. And you know, that perspective is necessary for every person in this world that has any position whatsoever. Your position has been granted you by the Father, and you are accountable for what you do in that position. If you are a dad, you are accountable for what you do as a dad. If you head a company, you are accountable for what you do in your position of authority while you're heading a company. If you are a teacher, you're responsible for that, what you teach. If you are whatever it is, whatever position in life, if you're a little sister, you know, and you have a sister that's watching you, you're accountable. Because, you know, in the end, you have been given these areas of responsibility in life, the measure that God knew that would be appropriate for you. He's granted that for you. And you're responsible for what you do with it. And you know, the thing that's funny is, like, in the world, you know, man makes up all kinds of rules for himself. He makes up all kinds of things for himself. You know, when Jesus was talking to Pilate, you know, back to that again, where he said, you know, the one that handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin. You know, in people's minds, they used to think, you know, okay, if I'm not the one that puts the bullet in this guy's brain, if I'm not the one that puts the nails, you know, and crucifies Jesus, that then, you know, that they were not guilty. They wanted to use somebody else, you know, like David did with Uriah the Hittite. You know, wanted to, but still, in the end, what did, what was the consequence? Well, God accounted the murder of Uriah to David. He said, you know, and regarding Uriah the Hittite, you know, you had him murdered with the sword of the Amalekites. With Jesus, you know, even when they were, when Pilate asked him, when the crowd was crying out, crucify him, even with Jesus, you know, what did they say? They said, Pilate said to them, what should I do with this Jesus? And they said, crucify him. And then said, why, what crime has he done? And they just kept screaming, and they said, you know, they said, let his, you know, blood be on us and our children. And, you know, 70 AD, that came to full effect. A terrible, terrible time in Jerusalem. To the point where Josephus, who was a historian that lived in Jerusalem at the time, when the city was sieged, wrote about the things that even, you know, that Jesus had prophesied, and how when they came to pass. And literally the famine was so great in that city that people began to, even mothers started to eat their own young. They started to eat their own children because the famine was so severe and so bad in that city when Jerusalem was besieged by the Roman army. There is consequences to people's actions. There is... God does bring things to account. You know, in this life, people reap what they sow. In this life, people deal with the consequences of their actions. You know, that's something that happens. This is a real time thing. You know, people don't get away with things. You know, I know that, you know, people sometimes feel that if they can acquire enough wealth, enough power, enough position, that then they can use that to shield themselves from the consequences for their actions. But no one gets away with anything. You know, if nothing else, death and old age is waiting for people. And every day that goes by, they go one step closer to departing this life. One step closer to frailty, to their bodies giving out, to the temporal reality that we live in coming to bear all the more on their physical being. And yet people feel that they can try to cheat death, if you would, and they can try to extend themselves. Life-extending technologies, you know, what people will do to try to buy themselves another 6 months here, another 2 years here. People get into some pretty crazy things. And, you know, towards the end of people's lives as well, the world is waiting to harvest what it paid for those servants of the enemy, the servants of the world system. All that wealth that they've acquired, that they've built up for themselves, the world system waits for them before it gets rid of them, and it waits for them and extracts that out of them. My gosh. You know, the thing that worlders don't realize is that, you know, on the way out the door, the world plans to strip you, to take it all. You know, it's not a pretty end for what happens to those that serve that system. Because, you know, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. So whatever deals that people think that they've made, he doesn't honor them. There is no honor with him. And people think that if they serve that system, that they're going to be something, they're going to be okay. No. The deeper that people go into that, the worse it is for their eternal soul, the worse it is for the destruction that they do to humanity and those that are around them, and the more blood they have on their hands. Now, God can redeem. Jesus Christ, his power is sufficient to save them, but they have to turn. They have to turn. They have to bow their knee before the King of Kings. They have to allow him to pull them out and to save them. To set their feet upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. He is the only power strong enough to take a person out of that system and to give them a new life and to protect them. For them to be able to be in broad daylight and to be protected is a work of the Spirit of God, is a work of his angelic protection that he puts around his children. Because he said, you know, I will command my angels concerning you, that you won't strike your foot against the stone. That God does that for his kids. We don't put the Lord our God to the test, but we also know that his protection is very real and very true, and it is right there with us in all that we do. Hey, you guys that write in, God bless you guys. You know, we love to hear from you guys, and I think I had a buddy of mine one time in India, and he was talking to me one time, and he said, this is back, you know, when I think I had a little bit more quote-unquote church involvement, and I was around the systems probably a little bit more, and he used to tell me, he said, Govinda, he said, if you listen closely, people preach their problems. And he was speaking specifically of, you know, in that case, we were listening to a guy preaching, and he was just picking things up from that. And, you know, I mean, it is true. I mean, you know, the things that we go through, the trials that we face, you know, as we're going through them, when we speak, you know, it does come out. Because that's what we're going through. And it comes out in our conversations. It comes out in our thought processes. It comes out in what it is that we are praying to God about. And, you know, I think, too, sometimes I've noticed for myself that there can be a lot of things that God will end up having me go through. And sometimes it's not for me. It's because there's something that he would have for me to say or bring out, or something for somebody out there. And, you know, that's part of it. You know, when we are servants of Christ, you know, we go through according to his will, his plan, his purpose, not of ourselves. See, when you are a slave, you go where the Father tells you to go. You do what the Father tells you to do, because your life is not your own anymore. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to him. And, you know, in that process of that, you know, we surrender ourselves to however it is that he would have to use us. And many times this is on behalf of others. You know, when Paul and Silas were, Acts 15, Acts 16, you know, sent into Asia, and the vision of the man of Macedonia, where he said, come over and help us. You know, that whole process that they ended up facing, that wasn't for them. That was for those to whom God had sent them. That was for the jailer. that was for the girl that was possessed by spirit that allowed her to tell fortunes, but ultimately was controlling her and destroying her. That was for the prisoners in the prison. That was for a challenge to the religious authorities in that place that were controlling people and using religion as a man-made system of social control and keeping people from the truth. You know, that was the reason that God sent them in there. Not for Paul and Silas. See, Paul and Silas were dead to this world and alive in Christ. See, when you're dead to this world, it's done. It's over. It's done. By that point, it's finished. When you are dead to this world, now it doesn't matter. Wherever it is that God would send you, now it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that God would have you do, now it doesn't matter. Because it's His decision. It's His control. It's His option, not ours. And that's part of the freedom that we need. See, when you and I, when we hold something dear, when we still have our own personal agenda, now we're limited by that agenda because we can't have God's agenda and our own. You know, the two can coexist mutually or coexist together. They are mutually exclusive. They are in polar opposites of each other. Now, when you follow Christ, one thing that He does is He promised to give us the abundant life. And what I've found for myself personally has been when I followed Christ, I've been allowed to live an amazing adventure and a fulfilled life. And the times where I've gotten off that track has been the times when life gets very dull, very boring, very routine, very controlled, very difficult, very unnecessary in what we end up having to experience in those seasons. So God calls us to trust Him. God calls us to follow Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And without that commitment, without that dedication, without that 100%, it's going to be tough. Because, see, that 100% commitment in your heart to the will of the Father is what pulls you through. See, when you give all that you are and all of yourself that you know to all of the God that you know and that you understand and of that has been revealed to you, God will meet you right there every time. But when you give only part of yourself, now there's only part of yourself that's open for what it is that God wants to do in flowing through you. And the problem is that other part that is closed off, that is the part that the enemy will latch on to. That is the dream that the enemy will take advantage of. That is the hope that the enemy will now sow into you and say, how can God be so cruel to deny you whatever? You know, doesn't he know? You know, and even, you know, the enemy will use scriptures. You know, like, oh, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And people will use those scriptures and say, see, these are the desires of my heart and I delighted myself in God and now I didn't get what I wanted and woe is me, right? Oh, come on, be honest. Right, yeah. No, that's what people do. Because, you know why? Because there's still something holding them. There's still something keeping them from what it is that God would have for them. So here it is. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And what you need, God will take care of. Matthew 6, that's my own paraphrasing the last part. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you're seeking it first, and that's 100%, then your desires will become and aligned to His desires. And so what it is that He puts into your life will be what it is that pleases you, what it is that you end up desiring. Because the one desire you have is to be in 100% perfect step with His Spirit, doing what He has for you to do, doing the right thing in the right place at the right time. That is the will of God for us. That is what it is that we seek and desire in all we do. So, don't worry. Don't be perplexed, because God is with His people. God will carry His people through. God will make opportunities where seemingly there isn't a way at all. And He will make opportunities for you and I to walk and to walk strong. And He keeps His people. He takes care of those that are His. He remembers those that meet together in His name. You know, as scriptures talk about, you know, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is also among them. And, you know, this morning I was just going through that after Jesus' resurrection and the two men that were walking on the road discussing what had taken place. And scriptures talk about how Jesus came up and joined them and walked with them. And that thing resonated with that other scripture, which scripture confirms scripture, but where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am among them. And there it was. Two were gathered in the name of Christ Jesus, speaking the truths of what it is that had happened and taken place and who Christ was and what all of it had been. And there is Jesus with them, in the midst of them, instructing them, their hearts growing strangely warm as they talked, and He made things clear to them and they understood, because they had a heart for truth. And if you ask, seek, and knock, it all comes to bear on your life. So ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. And hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And we'll catch up again sometime soon. All right. God bless you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.